is a sugya that appears in several places in Shas. I don't think there is much to be said. I don't think there's a whole lot to be said in terms of how it's composed and the duplications. There are sort of really two big pieces to this sugya, or to this presentation. One of which, in effect, may not really be so relevant here, but belongs elsewhere. The first is the sheet of Rabbi Abahu and where he gets it from. And the second is a presentation of the Machlokas and how to read the piece in the Vela. So let's first just read through the Gemara, and then we can talk about sort of the two pieces and what the relevance of them is. Who would like to read? Moshe, go ahead. Okay, so here's a very basic question. All right, this is really even not just the two pieces here. We've now spent a blot and a half to two discussing what is bechalav basar bechalav. What is the definition of basar? What is the definition of chalav? What is the definition of basar? Gedi. What is gedi? Self, it means parva rachel also. And apparently, even though it wasn't clear exactly how, it means even when you cross species and their milk. Chalevim gedi is not dam. Gedi is not shilya. Gedi is shlil. Chalev aim is not chalev shuta. It's not chalev zahar. And now, that's very nice. So now we know there's a prohibition of l'svashel gedi b'chalev imo. And now the question becomes, how do you know that it's asr to eat basar b'chalev? We only saw derech agav in the previous sugya, machlokas about malchus an achilin bishul. But really, what is the source for the isra achila? And now we're going to see a number of opinions on this issue. So, how do you know it's asr b'achila? Shenemar. Kol. Okay, now, so anything which I have been misa'iv for you is included in the prohibition of Bal Tochal. Now, the Gemara, after Rav Ashi is done, or after the Sugya is done, is going to start to ask a series of questions on related things, Kosher Ti Avti Lach. As we pointed out, the reason why Rav Ashi, the reason I think Rav Ashi uses this pasuk is because it's the bookends of the parsha of Machalos Asuros, and the opposite end is Los Vashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. Literally, these are the two ends of the parsha. Why does the Gemara think that this should serve as a general prohibition for all types of things that a Kadosh Baruch Hu prohibits, certain kinds of actions, is not clear. It presumably stems from the fact that there was a drasha. There was a drasha. It wasn't just that said lo sochal kol toiva, and Rav Ashi says that basar b'chalav is a toiva, but rather kosher ti avdi lach arehu b'val tochal. And therefore, it's assumed to be that any type of thing that generates, there's a prohibition of doing something which ultimately generates an edible product, like lo sevashel gedi b'chalav imo, because that's how you make it edible, is going to be included in this iser. It is very possible, of course, that Rav Ashi's intent really was just a very local statement within the parsha. Now, yes.
Is Rav the one making the drasha, or is he quoting earlier in the Tanakh? Most of these drashos of the Mishnah Halacha.
Did we?
From the Tanakh.
You know, I failed to check. Is Lo Sochal Kol Toiva quoted in the Sifrei? I looked at the Sifrei Dvarim at the end of the parsha. I didn't look at it at the beginning. I don't think for the newcomers to the Shir, Yefeinayim is a very important parish. I don't know if I mentioned Yefeinayim. Yefeinayim is how you find Yerushalmis that aren't located in this spot, the way you find Midrashi Halacha, the way you find Midrashi Agada, that are parallel to the Bavli. So you can check the Yefeinayim. I don't think he said anything on this. Even in the new fancy Gemaras, they print the Yefeinayim separately. Yefeinayim. It
Did we see this in the Mechilta?
Yes, no?
No.
He said, I have to check. He says that in the Sifrei, there's a drasha later in the Gemara, Lo Tochalenu, which is going to be, I don't know if that was in the Mechilta. Was it? Lo Tochalenu was. But he claims that both are in the Mechilta. He says, I don't think we saw it, unless we're just all forgetting. Okay. So the answer is no. It doesn't appear, at least there's not an earlier source, so it would appear for Lo Tochal Kol Toeva. Now, one of the Gemara's questions, I think, or not, the famous makar for Lo Tochal Kol, the famous din that's learned from Lo Tochal Kol Toeva is that Tzorim Ozen Bechor. If someone has a Bechor Behemoth Torah, say a Kohen, Kohanu v'chashudan al v'choros. Because by the time of the Mishnah, you couldn't bring a carbon anymore. So if you gave them a Bechor, you basically had to let it graze until develop the mum. So as you can imagine, there was great incentive to set up barbed wire around the enclosure of the Bechorim, because if it got a mum, then you could eat it b'mumo. If it couldn't, you sat there a lifetime till it died, then you had to afford it a proper funeral with no hana. So
you could just set it to pasture with a nice pointy rock.
Well, that's the whole discussion. But the point is, if a Tzorim Osen Bechor, someone who goes and literally clips the ear of a Bechor, so there's an Isser, it's not clear, the Rabban Darais of eating that Bechor. And based upon Los Tochal Kol Toeva. Shlomo, you had a question or no?
Does it belong to Kohen or not?
Sure. Yes. Kulei
Alma. You know, I'm saying in the Middle Ages, they could keep the Bechoros in the cemetery.
There are pictures of that. Human Bechoros?
No. The
really? Generally speaking, when I guess.
No, so Kohan couldn't give him a mug. Dr. Larmin told us and showed us.
I always thought that Jews forever have been being machna to a goy, a chelek in their animal. So to avoid the potential takala, which you're not allowed to do in the time of the Gemara, because you master the Kohen, here you're not being master the Kohen, and to avoid takala and so on, and being Mi'ila, and Mi'ila, not Mi'ila, but being Nana, and Shkutei Chutz, and so on. Okay. Fine. Anyway, so Rav Ashi says, Lo Sochal Kol Toeva is the marker for the Yisra Achila. Yeah.
I just looked about the Bar Ilan. Gemara in Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara asks, Tani Rabbi Huda,
that's in the fifth parak, isn't it?
That's
That's Rabbi Meir. It's Rabbi Meir, I thought. No, it's on. So we do have such a drasha. Okay. Not in the context of Basar B'chalav, in a completely unrelated context. That, by the way, is interesting, because again, now I understand why that drasha, because again, it's in the parsha with a whole bunch of different isurim. About chalas asuros. Normally we say that, you know, there's of tameh, behemah tameh, nevela, none of these things are mitzarif normally because they're different shemos. So he's saying everything is mitzarif because lo sochal kol toeva. Interesting. Okay. So Rav Ashi is saying it for basar b'chalav. The Gemara, but he uses a formulation, kol she'tiavdi lach. So the Gemara is going to, what does he mean? I don't know. The Gemara is going to raise a whole bunch of suggestions which it doesn't hold true. The only other drush I'm aware of that stands in terms of Yisurim is a Bechor that somebody intentionally put a mum in. The interesting question is, what does the word Toeva mean? What's that? an abomination, right? There is a... It means something different than the way it's used popularly today, you know, because you'll hear in discussions of, you know... American politics and values about how homosexuality is an abomination. The appropriate response to that, of course, is that cheating on weights and measures is an abomination in the eyes of God, as opposed to just being an abomination. The point is that the word doesn't mean anything. If you describe basar b'chalav as a toeva, what does it mean? What is the toeva? It has lost all of its moral force. Now, cheating on weights and measures, clearly in every society, has powerful ethical connotations. In terms of, forget the contemporary political discussion, just in terms of what did the word toeva mean, it's a strange application. Basa b'chal is toeva. I mean, do you walk by McDonald's, you see a guy at cheeseburger, you say, oh, what an abomination!
Of course not, because it's not basa b'chal.
No,
because the rabbi is the kud and the flour, okay?
No, the concept
fine.
Of cooking a kid in its mother's milk is a disgusting thing. It's like terrible. It's like
picking
it
way to describe that.
Melting cheese over a hamburger?
No, but that's like our modern way of looking at it. They were like doing it the real way.
Kol toe- and Osav Espino is a toeva?
It's moral.
Well, Osav Espino could be moral.
Oh, yo, 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 yo.
The milk of kindness.
What?
Luckily, they didn't say that
only
about
in the,
this
only
mitzvah.
Only in the Mora. You didn't pass in that way in the yard. So bottom line, I know what the Rambam says about that. And the Rambam is wrong, and the Ramban is correct in what he says on that. I'm not opposed to giving reasons to miss it. The Ramban is correct. It's not about the animals, it's about us. The Ramban's in Shiloh HaKem, in Parshas Kisetzein, he's 100% correct. So it's a very, I don't know what the word means. I don't know what the word to'eva means. But anyway, so that's what Ravashi says. That's the makor for the Isra Achila of Basar B'chol. Now, of course, the question comes up immediately. Ainli. So now, you were going to introduce Rabbi Abo. Rabbi Abo is a friend we've met before, last semester, when we were dealing with Girhan Arshe. Basically, the rest of the Shach Levitarya here, until the bottom of the page, appears in Pesachim as well. Now, there are actually five places in Shas where the sugya appears, not four. You're looking at me funny. What's that? Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf. Because really what you're dealing with here is a composite sugya. You're dealing with two pieces that have been put together because they bear a certain relationship, but they really deal with two different things. So let's read the first part. Go ahead. Don't read the next four words, five words. Okay, that's really question whether it belongs there. It's not there in the Vilna. I didn't check Kisveyat on this. It's not there in the Vilna Shas on Pesachim. No, it is at least in one other place. It is Nimin Baba Kama and Kiddushin. So you're saying only Baba Kama Chulon do these words appear. Now, you'll see why in a second. The presence of these words actually may prove that this is a composite sugya. It may prove it's a composite sugya. Okay, if you haven't seen the Gemara yet, you don't understand a word that I'm saying. But up until this point, we have Rabbi Abo being quoted as saying, whenever the Torah uses a prohibition and it says you may not eat it, it means not only not eating it, you may not get hanah from it. If you may not get hanah from it, why does the Torah not say you may not get hanah from it? The answer is because it's only, I would say the following, it's only aser to get hanah from it, kederach hanah aso, in a normal way. If you nene from it, shelo kederach hanah aso, you don't get malchus. And therefore, the normal way of being nene from macholos asuros is by eating it.
Oh.
Okay?
Well,
that's the normal way of getting hana from Achalas Asuras is by eating it. Fine. So Rabbi Abahu says that's a general klal. Is there anybody who disagrees with Rabbi Abahu? So here you would obviously have to see Chizkiah. Chizkiah in Psachim, and again, we tend to think there's a machlokas of Chizkiah and Rabbi Abahu in Psachim. There is no such machlokas. Right? Chizkiah in Psachim says, how do you know that Chametz is Asar Bana? And he says, Velo ye'achel chametz. And then I forget what it is that the Gemara makes clear it's based upon the Nikud, I believe. And lo yehei bahan heter achil or something. That's based upon the Lashon Nifal. And the Gemara then says, it must be Upliga the Rabbi Abahu. He must argue on Rabbi Abahu. They were, Chizkiah and Rabbi Abahu were not contemporaries. Chizkiah was Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe. Rabbi Abahu was Rabbi Yochanan's Talmud. But the Bavli presents it as a machlokas between Chizkiah and Rabbi Abahu, or proposes that in fact is a debate between Chizkiah and Rabbi Abahu. The only thing that's very clear in all of this is that Rabbi Abahu believes that as a general principle, whenever it says La'yochal asochal asochlu, that implies Echad Isar Achila Vechad Isar Hana. Now, so that's how it comes in the Gemara in Pesachim. You'll look at the other two sugyas that when the Rabbi Abahu part comes in, Rabbi Abahu does not appear in Avodah Zarah. It's the second half that appears in Avodah Zarah. But you look in the other two places, in Kiddushin, Daf Nun Vav, I think, and in Bava Kamma, Daf Mem Aleph, it's on here, what do I have to remember? Yeah. In which the Gemara invokes Rabbi Abahu with the suggestion that Lo Yochal is enough to tell you that something is Asr Bahana. It's actually quite a pella in those circumstances, and if we were really exploring Rabbi Abahu, we would start to ask questions, because what is the pasuk that's quoted in those two sugyas? In Kiddushin and Bava Kamma, that they say, we could learn Hana from Rabbi Abahu, not just Achila. Shor HaNisko. And what does the Torah say by Shor HaNisko? Sakol Yisakel HaShor Velo Ye'ochel HaSpisaro, which even Chizkiya should be Modeh as an Isser Hana. So the whole Gemara seems to have that sugya seems to have a completely different understanding, either a lack of an awareness of Chizkiya or a different understanding of what Chizkiya said. Either way, for the moment, Rabbi Abahu said is clear. Rabbi Abahu says that the verb aleph chaf lamed in a prohibition form means not only achila but even hana'a. Ari, you're seeing there? It's there. It's a pella. Nobody says anything. At least nobody noticed.
Well, that's why it doesn't bring. You can say that. Perhaps that's why it doesn't quote.
Why say Rabbi Abahu? Just say lo yachel means hana'a. Everybody agrees to that. Either because it's a nifal, or because it has the verb, alach haflamin.
Well, A, because it's, perhaps it's lorab kadamelsa, the Tosus says. Or
whatever that means, I don't know I have no idea what that Tosus means, yes.
Or because you just want to have a general klal enunciated there.
The simplest thing to say is because it's a shorthand. It's the easiest way is to quote Rabbi Abahu as opposed to getting into Chizkiya and discussing the thing. But I just point out, the sugya there labels it Rabbi Abahu when everybody in theory should agree if it's lo yeochel. So anyway, so here we have lo sochal kol toeva, and how do you know that's an isser hana? The Amar Rabbi Abahu Amar Rabbi Lazar, ko Amar Rabbi Lazar is an interesting case. You can see the author of the Masoras Hashas. All right, so firstly, let me reiterate klal gadol in learning Gemara. When the Masoras Hashas quotes another Gemara, what are you supposed to do?
Look it up.
Look it up. And if the Masoras Hashas says Ayin Sham, what are you supposed to do?
Look it up twice.
Really look it up, okay? When the Masoras Hashas tells you Ayin Sham, it means because there's a difference. It happens to be in this case there is no difference. He thought there was a difference because the printed text of the Vilna Shas and of the earlier printing, whatever that was, the Venice printing, did not have Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Elazar. All the Kisveyat have it in Psachim, all the other Gemaras have it, but he didn't realize that, and therefore he said Ayin Sham because, there he quotes it. It's Rabbi Abahu b'shmo b'shem atzmo. Here it's b'shem Rabbi Elazar. Yes.
I thought he was referring to the Rashi in Kiddushin that explains what part of the memra was, which part of the memra was actually Rabbi Abahu's memra.
Achi yifrat lecha akasav.
No. Like Yerba Nesina.
No. I don't know. He's just telling you. I think he's telling Ayin Sham. I believe it's because of that. It could be wrong. Maybe he also means that missing piece, which appears in two Gemaras and not. Okay. So anyway, so basically, you now have what did Rabbi Abahu say? What did he say actually? He said, "Kamakom shenemar." Any of these things, it's also actually yifre lachad akasa kederesh apart lachad benevela. What does that mean? The Torah said, "Lo sochlu chol nevela." Before we read what the Gemara says, it says you're not allowed to eat nevela, and then it says, "But if you want, you can give it to a ger, you can sell it to a guy, fine, because you're a holy nation to God." So the question is, why did the Torah have to tell you that you can sell it to a guy or give it to a ger? Why would you have thought otherwise? The Torah said, don't eat it. If you give it to a guy, is that eating it? If you sell it to a guy, is that eating it? No. If you give it to a ger, is that eating it? No. So why does the Torah have to tell you it's mutter to do these things? Avi, you got a question?
Yeah, when you mentioned before that Chizkiya was the Rebbe of Yochanan, and Avi was...
I believe he's the Rebbe of Yochanan.
Is it possible that one is really... Rabbi Abahu Shita is really just an expression of Chizkiya Shita, meaning not that they're disagreeing, but that one of them just one of that Chizkiya.
No, because when he says Lo Yehei Bo Heter Achila, only place we have it quoted, and the way it's quoted, and the way the Bavli understood it, which looks an awful lot like what he's saying, is that it's based upon the Nifal. You know, he doesn't say lo sehanim, and he says lo yehe ba achila. Sounds like he's interpreting the passive verb. That's what I would think. Okay. So now, what does the Torah say by nevela? It says it does say you give it to a ger, and you sell it, or you can sell it to a goy. So Tosa says absolutely, positively, you should not be goris these words. We have to explain what they're doing there. I mean, it's a pasuk, no? Why does Tosos not want these words here? So anyway, so this is the first half of the sugya. Ari? No. Wait. So what? If you finish the Gemara, you know why Tosos doesn't want it said. Now the Gemara quotes a Braisa, the Tanya. What does the Braisa say? And unfortunately, the Maseros HaShas, I think, slipped here because I believe this Braisa appears in Psachem and Avodah Zarah. It doesn't appear in Kiddushin and Bava Kama. And therefore, he should have put another full Misora thing here. He only tells you it's an Avodah Zarah because the first part of the Sugya is not an Avodah Zarah. And the fact that the first part of the Sugya is not an Avodah Zarah tells you a whole lot. Okay, so what's going on? Continue. D'Tanya. That's a pasuk. Ainley. It's a short form. Lager sheb sharecha titnena o machor. You should give it or sell it. Okay. Ainley minayin. I'm sorry. Ainley ella. That's different. Right. So what is the gemara? So nimsa. So Rabbi Meir is doing a double take on the verbs.
It goes both ways.
And it goes both ways. Like, Neseva takum vadarta, takum vadarta, pene zokain. And therefore, you can do anything you want with the nevela. It doesn't matter with whom you're dealing. Why then, according to Rabbi Meir, does it say, Lager shep sharecha titnena vachala omachor lenachri? So the Gemara will ask that question later. Hold on. Now, Rabbi Huda Omer. Stop. What is this machlokas, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, really about? No. See, because you didn't look at the Gemara of the Sarah, Yehuda. No. That's not really what this machlokas is about. This has been grafted on here. A slightly troubling moral. What?
Whether you're allowed to give something to
this is whether or not you're allowed to give a matnas chinam to a guy. No, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, without the entire first part of the sugya, simply quotes three drashos on lo sechonim. Lo sitnu lahem chanaya bekarka. You can't sell karka to a non-ger toshav in Eretz Yisrael, unless he's Jewish. Means to a guy. A guy who's not a ger toshav. You cannot give him chayin. So if you see a pretty looking non-Jewish woman, sounds like you're not supposed to say, oh, how beautiful she is. Okay, the Gemara then goes on to tell some very strange agada. How Rabbi Akiva saw the wife of Turnus Rufus, Arasha, and he spit, he laughed, and he cried. And he said, and he or Amgila said, you know, made some bracha barsha kacha lo balama. The Gemara's answer is that apparently you're not supposed to say it to the person. If you're praising God for having created such a whatever, okay, it's a little strange. They also asked the question, how did he even look at her? And the answer was, the Gemara's answer is Karen Zavis, right? In other words, they turned the corner, it was just by accident. Okay, fine. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, rach, because he recalled where she came from, Mitipa Srucha. He shachak because she was going to convert and he was going to marry her, and then cried because the beauty that would be bala would be, you know, would wind up being dust. I don't know what quite to make of that Gemara, but that's the second shot. It's not funny. It's a little odd, but I mean, it's funny. And the third pshat, so that's the second pshat in Lo Sechanim, and the third pshat in Lo Sechanim is you shouldn't give them a matnas chinam. All these issues will come up in Tosos here, but the Gemara then says that matnas chinam is a machlokas satanaim. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and they quote this brisa. So it would appear, the issue here of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda has nothing to do with machalos asuros. It's not about machalos asuros. It's not about a heter hana on machalos asuros. It's whether or not, when the Torah tells you leger ben esina olov de kochavim b'mechira, whether or not that's bedafka or dibur akasa behova. That's what this machlokus is really about. Yehuda.
The post was saying that suck in one time, it doesn't attribute to Issa Hana to Rabbi Meir, but to Rabbi Yabahu, but to Rabbi Meir.
No. Did you look up the Gemara?
No. That's why I said Issa Hana before.
No. You have to look up what Tosis is saying. You have to look up the Gemara to realize what's going on there. So the Gemara is going to, it's effectively the same thing the Gemara does, is going to do here, but the Gemara here never gets further into the discussion. They just analyze this brisa, and this is still found in Pesachim. Okay? No longer in Avodah Zarah. Just the brisa is found in Avodah Zarah with the analysis of it's a machlokes over matnas chinam. Matnas chinam. Okay? Well, at some point, we'll spend a couple of minutes talking about what matnas chinam means. We may have mentioned this already, because some people may be a little bit disturbed by it. It seems to be a very misanthropic sentiment. Okay. So anyway, so now the Gemara says, now that we have this brisa, and this remains true, even though this is not what the purpose of the brisa was, there's a machlokas on how to understand the rest of this pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda's position we understand quite well. The Torah is coming to prescribe for us by perhaps a mitzvah saseh, that you may not give a matnas chinam to a goy, but you may give it to a ger toshav, you can sell it to a goy. But according to Rabbi Meir, what is the purpose in the Torah bothering to tell us this? Why bother to say no? So chulchal nevela. So the Gemara now says the following. First, the Gemara is going to discuss. Hold on. First, the Gemara discusses Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. What this is the Bavli's explanation. What's their nekudas hamachlokas in terms of reading scripture? The Gemara says, Moshe, my time. Umachar, not Omachar. Oh, therefore.
Oh,
it's a hefsek. Hudasa. It dafka has to be this way. That's a very, interesting statement. Lahaktim nesina deger lemechira da'akim. What does that mean? Yehuda?
Maybe that's what Rabbi Yehuda says at the end. Rabbi Yehuda says at the end that it's a svara.
So that means
I know that I'm supposed to be helping out a ger before.
So that means I'm mechuyev to give this to a ger toshav, and if I have a ger toshav and a goy, in other words, what's the opposite?
It doesn't have to be that way, though. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda responds at the end, oh, I don't need an O to teach me that. I can learn it from svara.
No, I understand, but Rabbi Meir would say, well, what's the din lahaktim? It means, according to Rabbi Meir, even according to Rabbi Meir, if I have a goy in front of me and a ger toshav in front to explain this to me, lahaktim. Well, I'm considering one of two possibilities. Either I'll give it to a ger toshav, or I'll sell it to a goy. How is that hakdama? Meaning, if I want the money for the thing, presumably I'm going to sell it. If I don't care about the money, I don't want to bother with it, I'm going to give it away. If you want to tell me that you want to be makdim a ger toshav to a goy, I understand that. But what does it mean lahaktim nesina leger to mechira legoy?
Why couldn't you do that if it would have said you have the ger before anyway?
Yeah. All right.
I don't understand the problem. Presumably it means you should look for, do your best to find a ger toshav to give it to you. You can't even sell it.
So that means that if I can find the ger toshav, it's us for me to sell nevela.
Not us, it's a prescription. Exactly. Not us, it's a prescription.
In other words, if the ger is a higher
status. No one's saying it's not going to be chal. That means you're violating the Torah's prescription if you don't do it.
He's saying it's a prescription, not a proscription.
Fine, but it's still you're violating mitzvah
saseh. No, but if the mitzvah saseh. Maybe lahakim really is. Your option is better that you should give it to a ger toshav, then you should sell it to a guy if you had the option. It doesn't mean you can't sell it to a ger toshav.
especially if you have the choice.
I don't get it. Did you fulfill your mitzvah, your shir tzedakah, or not? Yes or no? The Torah is telling you in a specific circumstances you should give this a tzedakah rather than selling it to a guy. This is a very, this is a prat in mitzvah tzedakah.
If they get
I have a. You're telling me, you know, as my 5-year-old likes to say, what does he like to say? Which is better, avocado or tiger? I'm not getting exactly right, but he comes with this ridiculous dichotomy. I have to ask Nadav what it is that he has this. He says it with a big smile. I think he appreciates at this point. It's ridiculous, but it's sort of like, all right, if you told me if I'm going to give it away. I'm going to give it away. Well, better to give it to a ger tosha than the guy. I understand that. I'm selling it, so somebody's going to buy it from me. I'm taking the money. Who should go first? What does it mean, lahaktim nesina leger to mechira legai?
It's teaching you.
It's better to do mitzvah tzedakah in this case than to engage in commerce? I just don't understand. It's apples and oranges. You're comparing two different things. You know, unless it means that if I have a goy and a ger toshav standing in front of me, I don't really have medina amachoyev to give it to the ger toshav. When can I sell it to a goy when there's no ger toshav there, Yehuda?
Is it possible to say that what we're dealing with is a case of, there are two different cases, meaning if you have the debela and there's only a ger, you're chayev to give it to him before he's selling it to him. But if it's you have the debela and it's just an ovid kochavit, there's no ger around, there's no possibility of a ger in this case, that's when you sell it.
Except that what you just said is lahaktim nesina leger lemechira leger.
No, I know it's not.
So I'm not going to answer the question fully now, other than to point out that Tosfos was bothered by a piece in this. Tosfos says on the bottom of the first Tosfos, I'll read the end, on the words Vidafka. It's underlined, but only in mind. It's about 6 or 7 lines from the end. V'dafka nevein leberetz Yisrael shein ovdei kochavim mitzuyin sham v'yimbala mochra la'ovdei kochavim tzarech litna b'damim muatim then nesinas ger kodemas avo pshita shem yesh chepetz la'adam limkar kodem yimkarenu la'ovdei kochavim mashi nenu afilu Yisrael chavera. Right, in other words, Tosfos is bothered by this question of there's an incompatibility between matana and mecher. His answer is, it's in a case where the mecher is virtually a matana anyway, because it's almost worth nothing. You know, in other words, do you sell it to the guy for 2 pennies, or do you give it to the ger? It's not much of a sale. Mitosis is bothered by this fundamental question, because the statement doesn't make any sense. I mean, Tosis goes farther. So not only is mechira the guy kodem l'nesina l'ger, it's kodem l'nesina l'Yisrael. Ari?
You know, like, it's very, like, legalistic. You don't have to read it so legalistically. You just read it, like,
oh, 1 second. You're in the context of the Gemara where there are big stakes. This is not just a moral debate going on. Rabbi Yehuda claims that there's a mamish in Isra Matnas Chinam to a guy. You're not allowed to give Nesina to a guy. So tell me that Rabbi Meir just... What, Rabbi Meir says a drasha?
No, Rabbi Meir held it. Once Rabbi Meir holds that there is Matnas Chinam to a guy, then that's it. The question is, which one is it better to do first? So do whatever... Like... It's
the
like,
pasuk's totally extraneous. Like you needed the pasuk to. Do you need the pasuk to tell you that?
According to Rabbi Meir, maybe you do.
Interesting. It's okay. It could be.
All the pasukim in Mishlei that have just common sense things that you should know. Like, you need a pasuk to tell you like.
Chazal didn't turn those into a. Chazal didn't turn.
Like, I don't know. That's obvious. It's like an obvious thing. You know.
Tov Shevas Alpina Skag Me'ishas Mendanim Uveis Chaver. Okay. You see, you go to various communities and you see the husbands all sitting on the roofs now. It's a newest chumra. We should introduce it in wherever they like chumras, you know, that you'll see a whole bunch of men sitting on their roofs when their wives scream at them because Tov Shevas Alpina Skag Me'ishas Mendanim Uveis Chaver. Okay. But Chazal didn't turn them into halachos. Here it's presented as a halacha. Lahaktim. We talk about lahaktim. The word lahaktim is used typically in halachic contexts. I don't know. Maybe I'm overreading, but Shalom.
According to the Yehuda, is it usher to sell it to a ger?
I don't know. It's the same question, right? In other words,
I think it's even
I think this is, that would be more obvious because he's saying that you have, when he says that the each one, the verb has to apply to the thing, so then the opposite should be not applicable.
So he's saying, you, I think you have to say for Rabbi Yehuda, or do you want the same question? Dvarim k'chsavan means the second half, not the first half. In other words, like Erash HaTitnena,
Rashi says, yeah, Rashi says.
On Rabbi Yehuda.
Not on the dot.
Yeah.
He says on Rabbi Yehuda that of course it's mutter to sell it to a ger. It's just that you're not allowed.
No, he says it's
usher to sell it to a ger. Okay. Okay, but I still understand that because even though as strange as that is, so the Torah is saying you're not allowed to give it to a guy. You're not allowed to nevela may not be sold to a ger.
That's because you have mitzvah lachiyosa, you have to give it to him.
But again, that still raises the same... No, it could be a specific zeres hakasav, the one thing that you have to sell because you can't use it, so that you're not allowed to sell to a ger. There, yeah.
But you're allowed to give it to him, even though you can't use it.
Correct. That's what the Torah said. Nena. So, it's strange. In other words, are these priorities in mitzvah tzedakah? I've never seen anybody quote this in the sugya of discussing tzedakah. And here's one case where the Torah prescribes very specifically what you must do with something. It's a pella.
Karav Yosef.
It's a pella. I don't know. Okay. Tosos, at least in Rabbi Meir, were certainly bothered by the question. Rafi?
And this is not an entire thought, but could it be that according to Rabbi Meir, the fact that this is Ola Hakim Hasino Lager is the fact that the Mechira of the Obik Bolchavim is an outgrowth of this first name of the Sino Lager. I mean, I don't have a good reason as to why that would be, but the fact that the way it's formulated, the fact that we would not have this din of Mechira of the Obik Bolchavim if not for the din of the Sino Lager. Is that...
I don't know.
I don't know why that would be, but just from the way it's formulated, it sounds like the Lahakdim...
I don't think it's lahaktim chronologically. I think it's lahaktim. In other words, it's not A comes before B, but it's instead of. You're pointing at something which is correct, very much technically correct in the language, but I think it's a different meaning. In other words, kedima we often use as a term to which goes first. Here it's not which goes first, because if you do one, you can't do the other.
No, but just in terms of the actual...
So that's what you're really asking is one leads to the other, is kedima in the sense of first A, then B.
Right.
And I'm saying I don't think I hear what you're reading the language very precisely. I don't think that's what it means here. I think that there
like
is a use of, in other words, when we say that Kohen Gadol, when we say, well, I guess those are Kodem. Those are also. Does it say Kodem?
I don't mean Hakdim on like a practical level. I mean just as
No, I understand. I don't think the word means that here. Naharios, it means comes first. If you can do both, you do both. It's not necessarily one. In other words, it obviously means that if you can't do both, then one of them gets done. But that's not... the meaning there is to come first. I don't know. That's a good, interesting observation about the word. I don't think that's what's going on here. I think the word simply means which gets... And again, I don't use the word priority, because priority, again, implies first and second. So I don't think it's so, but your reading of the word is correct. You heard that?
Is it possible that Rameer is saying that in every other case, obviously, Chayav Ger comes before... But only when the pasuk says either do X or do Y, do things become different. Meaning, Rabbi Meir is saying that since the pasuk is telling me that I should do mechira to a ger, it's not just a suggestion; it's more than that. It's almost an obligation. And in that sense, I need to delineate in that sort of case which one comes first, even though in a normal case it might be obvious.
But for Rabbi Meir, it's lahakdim. Nesina leger lemechira laakum. It's not, again, it's apples and oranges. When you're choosing one of them, you either choose to give it away or choose to sell it. You can say it's better to give it to one person than give it to the other. It is better to sell it to one person than, and I don't think Rameh would say it's better to sell it to a guy than sell it to a ger. Just as I find it hard to believe Rabbi Huda would say that you can give it to a ger but not sell it to a ger. But okay, so Rashi apparently doesn't agree with that.
Based on,
I understand.
Rabbi Meir is not initially dealing in what's better and what's worse. I mean, for Rabbi Meir, it's not the pasuk's not just suggesting this is what you should do. It's telling you you need to do this. You need to sell it or give it away.
No, but he.
So,
yeah.
In that context, you could easily argue for Rabbi Meir, Hakdama doesn't apply here. Either one is fine. Normally, Chayav Ger is important, but in this case, the pasuk is telling you to do something. It doesn't matter. There's no Hakdama here. I'm fulfilling my obligation, and that's what overrules everything else. I can sell it
but Rabbi Meir
to a ger over giving it to a ger, or sell it to a Oligo Chavim over giving it to a ger, because the pasuk says I should do something. That's it. So that's why it is. There is some sort of chiddush aspect to saying or doubling.
But again, hakdama of what to what? What is the Torah telling you should be makdim? It better you do X than Y. What is X? In other words, if you're considering, really, if you're considering X or Y, you should choose X. What crazy person is considering it, giving it to a ger, selling it to a guy? I mean, it's a person who's decided that he doesn't care that much for the money. He's toying in his mind in this case. Maybe I'll give it away to him. He's a nice ger toshav. Maybe I'll sell it to him. And that's the case the Torah is telling us. You should give it to a ger toshav. Okay, I mean, to me, strikes me as odd. Shalom?
I know this is going out of the limb, but maybe if we think about the gear set, change the lamed to a vav, and the hakdin utina, the gear, vim, so in each category, we're being makdim the action.
Why should you be makdim? What makdim mechira legoy
versus natina legoy?
You let him finish? Let
meaning
him speak?
Mechira to a goy over natina for a goy, and natina to a gear over mechira.
So then, but then that's a radical chiddush, because then you're suggesting that Rabbi Meir agrees with the sentiment of Rabbi Yehuda.
But he says it's not.
Let's stick
not,
it to the
it's
guy.
It's not ladina. It's just I might agree with you in what you should do, but it's not ladina.
That's a very big. I mean, I can't rule that out. That's a very big chiddush. I like it only because it would explain.
I think it works with the language.
It works with the language. That's correct. I just find, in other words, that creates a very interesting position, which
not really so different.
Right, in other words, it substantially narrows the gap between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir's position on Matnas Chinam. Rabbi Yehuda says it's usser to do, Rabbi Meir says it's not recommended.
How would it work with the language?
What?
How would it work with the language?
Because it's lahaktim nesina leger umechira la'achim. In other words, if you're going to do something with a ger, it's more appropriate to give it to him as a matana. If you're going to do something with a guy, it's more appropriate to do. So there, at least, the common denominator is I know who I want to transfer ownership to, either to a guy or to a ger. Within each transfer of ownership, I want to say, better to sell to him, better to do it. My problem with the way we present initially is sell it to a guy, give it to a ger. It's avocado? I don't know what the other one is. I don't know which is better, avocado or tiger. I don't know. I have to remember his other one. Avocado sticks in my head.
In the other context, it's not about. In the other
places. It says le. No. It's lahakdim. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's. I think also the term generally, typically is lahakdim x le y is usually the terminology. Shemayakdim kon elevation. Now again, you could just argue the le is understood, but I don't know. Was there Ellie?
The issue we're dealing with is umachor versus omachor. The issue is not why it says kitnena omachor. The issue is much more local. So it doesn't seem as though.
What are you responding to? Shalom's comment?
Shalom's comment.
Well, he's saying something. He's just saying however they would get it from the pasuk. He's saying not the O and U of this. I'm not sure how that's responding to it. In other words, he's just saying the expression lahaktim x instead of liwai x viy.
Right, but that doesn't make sense.
I see what you're saying. You're saying that the whole issue is whether the pasuk effectively sees this as two tracks or one track. It's got to be Nesina Leger and right. In other words, Shalom, your issue should not be no. If you, what you're saying is Rabbi Meir's position, there should be no relationship between that it says O or V. Right. In other words, the way the Gemara reads Lahaktim A LeB, and the question is in the pasuk, what's between A and B, an or an and. That makes your position isolated. You're right in terms of the words view, change the lam to a vav, but he's correct in terms of the origin of where it's coming from. It doesn't make any sense. Okay. All right. I don't know the answer to this question, but it always has bothered me. Satosis is struggling, starting to deal with it, but okay. So now the Rabbi Meir says, "Lahakdim esina, Rabbi Yehuda." Svara Zeata. Again, this is kind of wild. In other words, this itself further reinforces the notion, Shalom, not the way you're saying, but that somehow you have the strange fellows deciding, do I give it to a ger? Do I sell it to a guy? That's what it sounds like. And so Rabbi Yehuda says, if the person is genuinely considering both options, it's not that he's decided to sell it because he needs the money, but he's sort of considering. Then you say, okay, let him... So Rabbi Yehuda says, of course, if you consider them both equally viable options, of course there's a mitzvah l'achayoso.
But for Rabbi Yehuda, he only has those two options. Meaning for a ger, he's not allowed to sell it, and for a goy, he's not allowed to give it. So for him, those are the only two options that he can consider. But for a mayor, he could have gone either way in both categories.
I guess the alternative question would be, is it possible to say, when l'haktem nesina l'ger, the mechira la'ovdei kochavim, does it mean lav dafka nesina to mechira? Is it l'haktem ger la'ovdei kochavim? In other words, if you're going to sell it to one of them and both want it, sell it to the ger. If you're going to give it to one of them and both want it, would want it, give it to the ger. Is that what it means? I mean, is it only because the pasuk uses lashon nesina and mechira, therefore it says lahaktim. He just is parallel in the pasuk, but lav dafka nesina and mechira. Tosfos does not read it that way. I'll grant you that. And Rabbi Yehuda says to that, well, and that's where Yehuda's response is: it's a davar pashut. Atamatzuv lachayosa doesn't mean lachayosa could be by giving it to him or sell it to him cheaply because it's going to be cheap. So it's possible that might be the...
He could have just said lahaktim netina lager, period, for that.
No, but he's echoing the pasuk.
You wouldn't even have to echo the pasuk in the second half.
No, you wouldn't have said lahaktim netina lager. You would have said lahaktim ger la'ovei kochavim, is what you would, and that's the argument. So the fact that... But the fact that he puts both halves since he's just quoting the pasuk. One could say that. Moshe?
Say it's la'davka netina lager, or la'davka netina lager, but assuming that... Can't just give
him out.
Let's say they both agreed.
Well, no, they don't. Clearly, Rabbi Meir does not agree.
Right, but if you hold that you can't give him out of Sinem to an Akum, then you're required to do Mechira. So that if you have an Akum before you, and you're going to consider giving it to him, well, the only way you could do it is you sell. But if you happen to have a Gertoshav, well, then you're going to be Machin the Gertoshav, even if it's just by
name. No, but you can't say that for Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Beferish. Echad ger echad the sina of kocham mechira, and then leger b'mechir minayin lot dekham b'nesina minayin. He assumes that it's mutar. Now, okay, so now that we sort of dealt with yes, yeah.
So is the lo tzarich kras svaro telling you that if you have thousands of dollars worth of nevela, then you must give it to a ger if you have the option, and not sell it to an afri?
So that's what Tosfos claimed. Absolutely not. Now, it's forgetting about how you know it. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda both agree on the Hakdama part. So Tosfos says, cannot be that you're mechuyev to, you know, suffer the hefsed. He says it's just in that case, and the veil in Eretz Yisrael, with not too many going around, isn't worth very much. So Tosfos certainly assumes not that way, but yes. And the way I want to read the conclusion also doesn't assume that way either. It just means if I'm going to sell it, I'll do the chesed. If he wants to do business with it, so sell it to a ger. If there's a ger and a guy who wants to pay the same price, sell it to the ger. If you're going to give it away, give it to the ger before you give it to the guy, if the ger wants it. All right.
Just two things. First of all, what was the problem with just saying that, I just don't understand what the problem was with just saying that, according to Rabbi Meir, you are mechuyev to find the ger toshav to give it to, and if you can, then you can sell it. That's Rabbi Meir's position.
So then you're saying it's a specific prescription within mitzvah tzedakah. It's a little, you know, that would be unique.
Well, in
unique generally, the Torah says in this specific example, this case, you must give tzedakah.
So the Maram Shif and the Maram Shav both have the reason for that as because if you do that, you're convincing them to be this guy or by being nice to them. That's why there's a specific prescription.
For which sheet, the Rameh Rabbi Yehuda?
For Rameh.
So it's a mitzvah kirov instead.
Yeah, at least that's what I
understand. Okay. I think the purpose of the Torah is to tell you, get rid of it, don't eat it. Right. How do you get rid of it? Well, look, you have a ger toshav, he's your friend, he's your neighbor, so he's the person you're likely to give it to. The guy who's a stranger who really doesn't live here because you don't let him live here and he's just passing through. So you sell it to him. Either's an acceptable choice. Not
prescriptive at all.
And also, just
before.
Yeah.
Just in terms of, once we bring up the question of Man Naskina, later on in the Gemara and Pesachim, it talks about a case of, with the Gid HaNakhri, I think.
Tosus asked the question, Shalech Adam Yerach Nachri.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you allowed to do that?
Yeah, according to
Tosus asked the question in multiple places. He asked it here. Tosus in Bima Maso Rabbi Huda asked that question. The answer that the Tosefta says, Bima Kira. It's a matnas chinam when you send it to some, when you do it as a pure act of, I mean, this, I find this disturbing actually. Again, that's my own, I guess, my own inclinations. If you do it sheerly as an act of goodness and kindness towards humanity in general, that's usher. If you give it to your neighbor, where he might do you a favor in exchange, that's not matnas chinam anymore. That's a kind of mecher.
It is true
that that's a mecher.
Yeah.
I agree with that. It just reemphasizes the misanthropic thrust. Look, the truth is, if you know what relationships were often like with the pagans in Eretz Yisrael, it's not surprising to see such a thing. And I can't speak about Amorite Babylonia, but certainly in Eretz Yisrael there were some. Obviously, sometimes there were neighborly relations, but there was much social strife between the Jews and the Hellenistic pagans who surrounded them. It's not surprising to see such a statement in the same way the Meiri can interpret. I mean, the Meiri.
But here in Provence, where we only have crusades, the Nazis are so nice to us.
Thank you.
And they're obviously
Ben,
civilized
Ben,
and.
Ben.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. But it just really sort of accentuates that notion that stam to do goodness for humanity, that's usher, you know. But I mean, you know, practically you can always get around it, because if you have something you don't want to waste and you give it to stam a guy and you wear a yarmulke, you mikadoshim shemayim, so it's not a matnas chinam anymore, right? Whatever. Ellie, I'm sorry.
In terms of the stucco reading, we know that Gerasha Bisharapa is the varm stand in for the floor.
Is
the varm stand in for the floor?
I don't think that's any different from mitzvah lachiyasu.
Except for that it can't stand exactly in for the poor here, because unless you're talking about an idealistic world, because we look at the Jewish poor. There is Evyon also.
Oh,
it's
not
the
only allowed to give it to Jewish poor because they can't eat it.
I understand that, but no, so I'm not. So you're arguing that. Well, you're raising a different problem, because Chazal, I'm going to interpret Gercha Shebesharecha as differently. Some of them are Jewish and some of them are non-Jewish. Right? So again, that doesn't solve any of the problems, and nor does it create any problems. Assume for the moment that the Ger Sheva Sharecha is a person you're more likely to give a matana to. Still, what does it mean, lahakdim? In other words, Gemara does say that. It says Metzuva Lachayoso. If you're saying Metzuva Lachayoso, it means you're correct. I mean, you're correct in pointing that out. Metzuva Lachayoso means is picking up on that. He's probably poor. That's why you're giving it to him. So granted, that is correct. But still, at the end of the day, is it a specific prescription to do tzedakah over mechira to the guy? And let's say you want to, again, it doesn't really answer the question, my question. You're still left with that. Is the Torah saying, in this specific circumstance, do tzedakah, don't do commerce? That what Rav Meir means? It says lahaktim nesina lager lemechir lahakum.
The problem with that is just that it's strange.
What is lahaktim? Does it mean I'm a chuyif to do so? What does that mean exactly? I know it's not actionable. The Torah comes along and says, in this case, by Nevela, you can do either, and really you can do anything you want with it. You can do tzedakah, you can give something to an achri, maybe that's not tzedakah, or it's not your responsibility of tzedakah. You could sell it to anybody you like, but if you're deciding between tzedakah and a commercial transaction, do tzedakah.
It's not a full
hetana. It's a false choice. Most people don't go around in their minds thinking, I mean, halavai they should. In fact, in this economy, maybe they certainly should. I have $100,000 here. Should I give it away to charity? Should I invest it? That's not the way, it's not like, okay, well, there's a kedima to charity, but that's not the way people work.
you decide, the first thing you decide is, do I need the money or not? If I don't need the money, and I decide that I have plenty extras that I'm going to give to charity, so I give it to charity. Now you can tell me, who do I give it first? I give it first to, take somebody, mentioned somebody threw it out before about Kadimas and charity. Kadimas and charity, exactly, if that was you, Ben, means if I have to decide between Aniya Ircha and Aniya Echeres, I give it to Aniya Ircha first. If I have to decide between Aniya Ertzecha and Aniya Ertzecheres, I give it to Aniya Artsi first, and so on. If I have, you know, Nkesef Tavas Ami, or if it's Achicha and someone who's not Achicha, who do I give it to first? Here, you're deciding, do I invest it in Wall Street? Or do I give it to tzedakah? Arguably, giving it to tzedakah is probably a better investment, but at least these days. Anyway, that's the story of Munbas HaMelech, right? In Mishnas Ravon, yes. It's strange to talk about this hakdama when you're talking about avocados and tigers. Yes.
Well, in relating, you know, like, remember, I think last week when you talked about meat, like, when the Torah tells you you should own sheep, you're telling you to eat when you own your own sheep. Is that a case of just a good advice, or is that
Chazal present that as limda Torah derech eretz, right? That's an agadic interpretation to teach a mussar. That's
like
arguably not pshuto shel mikra.
Don't own sheep. You can still eat meat. It's just like a bad idea.
But here again, we understand what the eitza is, though, right? It's whether it really comes to the pasuk doesn't. You understand what the eitza is. If you can't afford something, don't buy it. If you don't really need it, that's what it says. I just don't know what it means, lahaktim oranges to tigers, or avocados to tigers.
It's good advice. It's good advice to give tzedakah, but it's not like it's not one of your master chiyuv. It's still good advice to be a nice person, but it's not your chiyuv.
Okay. I just don't know what to do with this. Okay, now what is the point of quoting the Shach Levitarya here? So now that we've sufficiently beaten the Geir Toshav and the Nachron to death, or at least the Nevelas are dead. Okay? So now, what is this doing here? What is the Soshaka Vataya doing here? So the answer is, and somebody mentioned this before, because Tosfos makes a comment about Rabbi Abahu and Psachim, which one of these Tanaim agrees with Rabbi Abahu? Mameir. Why? Correct. Rabbi Meir, who says that you can do anything you want with it, basically. So the purpose of the Torah coming to tell us this is to tell you that it's mutter to be nana from it. It's mutter to give it away as a gift, where presumably you receive hakar satov. It's mutter to sell it. However, if you say like Rabbi Yehuda, the Dvarim Kichsavan, it's not that nevela, once the Torah says you can't eat it, is in fact asur bahana as well. It's that adrabah. It might be that it's mutter b'hana, and now the Torah comes and teaches you, but by the way, even though you're allowed to get hana from it, you're not allowed to do the following things. You're not allowed to give it away to a goy, because that would be an iser matnas chinam. I find the other tzad, I don't know what to do with the other tzad. You're not allowed to sell it to a ger toshav. I don't know why not.
Mitzvah lachiyosa.
You're not allowed to sell anything to an ani? If you're a storekeeper and an ani comes in,
not an avela.
You're not thank you. Okay, so I don't understand that Rashi, but fine. Bottom line is, for Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah had to tell you that Ager Shavashirachatana Machalanachri. Otherwise, you would have assumed you could do anything you want with it. But for Rabbi Meir, the Torah is telling you do anything you want with it. Why does the Torah have to tell you that? So the answer is, and this is the Shachtan Tarim Sachem. It continues in Sachem, that Bishlama, according to Rabbi Meir, it works for Rabbi Abahu. And the Gemara even suggests, perhaps this is the Machlokas Atanaim, whether you hold like Rabbi Abahu, whether you hold like Hiskia. A little anachronistic, but that's the way it's suggested. The Gemara says no, that even for sure Rabbi Meir must hold like Rabbi Abahu, must work with the premise that lo yochal asochal asochlo is echad es achil veches hana, and that's why the Torah had to be matarit. But it could be Rabbi Yehuda would agree, and he learns from some other source that every isra achila by default is an isra hana. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk by Trefa that osa atamashel hakel, because there's another pasuk Trefa. What do you do with a Trefa? You're not allowed to eat it. What do you do with it? Throw it to the dogs. So why does the Torah have to tell you throw it to the dogs?
So you can get enough.
So they have to teach you can get enough from it. So Rabbi Yehuda would say, learn from that one, that Osa Atamashal Chalav, Yatamashal Chalav, Kali Surin Shabbatora. So it's the same drasha. And Rabbi Meir would have to respond, what do you need the pasuk to teach you that there? And the answer to that question, of course, is once we're speaking about proper morals and ethics,
which is you don't want to be mekapeach the scar of the dogs, because the dogs in Egypt didn't bark. Right, you all know that. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach scar kol birya. Okay, fine.
It's better if you give something to the dog and sell something to.
Please don't. Please, I know. There are things that I don't. What can I tell you? I, as a proponent of the Meshita and the Meiri, and someone who passes that way from A to Z, so I can sleep at night. I find the alternative position. I understand where Chazal were coming from on the assumption they lived in a certain world. But without that assumption, I find it so profoundly disturbing. I can only sleep at night well because I can assume that they said certain things for a certain reason. Unfortunately, so many of my co-religionists don't seem to see things that way and don't seem to be disturbed by this possibility. And just saying that the Xeris HaKasav to me isn't very satisfactory. There are a lot of things I can explain away and swallow easily. Xeris HaKasav, I don't find this so easy to swallow. So anyway, okay. So then it turns out really it's only Rabbi Meir's position here that fits well with Rabbi Abahu. Now, this sugya, I think, is very clear. Now, there's one last piece here. Go back to the conclusion of the Gemara, the conclusion of the first half. Actually, yifr lecha akasav kedera shepar lecha demezela leger benesina ode kocham memechira. Whose shita is that? That is Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Is it? Not exactly. It's the pasuk. But pashtus is, that's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. So Tosa says there's a problem. What's the problem? Well, we know that Rabbi Abahu doesn't work within Rabbi Yehuda, at least not from this pasuk. And as this pasuk does not provide the backing, and this is the reference to Psachim, what Tosas was talking about, Rabbi Abahu cannot find backing in Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So if you want to say that if Rabbi Abahu, in fact, that he did say, he doesn't want to say, because otherwise Rabbi Abahu would be undermining his whole point. Rabbi Abahu has to hold, and he says that Nevela is the Makar. When he says, he has to say, because his whole point is that the Torah doesn't come to tell you Dvarin Kechsavan. The Torah comes to tell you that it's mutter to do anything you want with it. And only because the Torah told you it's mutter to do anything you want with it, are you allowed to do so. Otherwise, it would have been Asr Bahana'a. That's why Tosos wants to erase the girsa. Tosos says Kedar Shapart Lacha Benevela Logaras Lager Benesina La Ove Kochav Mechira Kedepirish Bekontras Bepsachim Deimkain Have a Mashma Da Ayri Alibed Rabbi Yehuda Amar Dvarim Kichsavon. But Ud Rabbi Abahu Lo Mitukna El Kravi Meir Kedepirishus. I don't know why Kedepirishus, as the Gemara says Beferish there. Okay, and the E Garaslay. If you really do have it, how do you explain it? Yesh Lefarish to Lishna the Krav Alma Nakat V'Lav Mishum the Lav Dvarim Kichsavon. Inami nokat lahum ishim the nesinas hager kodemes. Now, Tosus gave three possibilities here. Number one is that the words aren't here. Firstly, let me just take a step back. Does everybody understand what the problem is? Okay, so I'm going to take the answer to that question is no. So I'm going to review in 60 seconds what we've just said. There's a machlokes on how to read the part of the pasuk that comes after lo sochlu chol nevela. The Torah says you may give it to a ger, or you may sell it to a goy. There's a machlokas of what the point of that is. One position, Rabbi Yehuda's position, says the Torah spells that out because that's the only thing you're allowed to do with it, in that form of fashion. You may sell it to a goy, you may give it to a ger. You may not do the reverse. Why? Because there's an isser mat naschina to a goy, and maybe this in some isser mechira leger, whatever it is. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what would we have assumed if the Torah had said lo socho chol nevela? What might we have assumed? And stopped there. If it had only said those four words, we would have assumed what? You may sell it to a ger toshav. You may give it to a ger toshav. You may sell it to a guy. You may give it to a guy. We would assume it's all mutter, perhaps. And therefore, the Torah has to tell you, spell out those two possible things that you might do with it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, then, pashtus might be that if the Torah hadn't said anything, we would have assumed on our own that it's mutter bana without any restrictions. The Torah is coming to restrict our permissible options of hana. That does not fit at all with Rabbi Abahu's position, that whenever the Torah says lo yochal asoch lo asoch by default, that it implies echad esrachil echad esrachana. It certainly doesn't reinforce Rabbi Abahu's position.
Rabbi Meir, however, says that even though the Torah says you may do A with B and C with D, it's also okay to do it the opposite way. In other words, effectively speaking, there really are no restrictions on what you do with it. So what did the Torah say then? The Torah said, don't eat nevela. Do whatever you want with it. The fact that the Torah has to tell you do whatever you want with it means that that without the Torah telling you that, you would have assumed that you can't do anything with it. You would have assumed that layochal asochal asochal means an iser hana. If so, that fits very nicely with Rabbi Abbo's position. Now, if we say, when Rabbi Abbo says that komakom shenemar b'Torah layochal asochal asochal echad iser achil v'echad sana b'mashma, stop there, it means, until the Torah spells out for you, as it did by Nevela, what? What does it have to spell out for you? Heter Hana'a. Then that would have been fine. But if Rabbi Abbo says, Asher Yifrach L'Achasav K'derach Shepart L'Acha B'Nevela, L'Ger B'Nesina L'Ov D'Kechavim M'Mechira, he's picking Rabbi Yehuda Shita. And it doesn't work within Rabbi Yehuda, because as soon as you need the Torah to tell you, L'ger b'nesina, bar'lov de'kochav b'mechira, then you needed the pasuk to tell you to restrict the yisr hana, not to create the heter hana. So what are those words doing here? So the first answer is, they're not here. That's a mistake. The second answer is, I understand, lishna de'kronokat. It's lav dafka. It's just, it meant, L'ger b'mechira b'nesina, and l'goy b'mechira b'nesina, but he didn't want to, he just quotes it the way the pasuk is modeled. I understand that, Teretz. Yehuda?
Even though it makes absolutely no sense why Rabbi Abbo would choose Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Meir, I don't think that it completely undoes Rabbi Abbo's sheet to choose Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, all Rabbi Abbo is saying is that most of the time there's an Isra Hana. Except when the Pasuk tells you when it's looking to use Hana in certain situations. Allah Rabbi Yehuda. Why he chooses Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Meir makes no sense. But I don't think that his position makes no sense if he chooses Rabbi Yehuda. It's restricted.
You're almost Yehuda. You're saying something good, but you're not getting it right. In other words, you're missing. You said correct. You're missing one point, which, based upon something I said earlier in Shia, you should be able to fill in and hammer it out. Is Rabbi Abbo thinking about Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda?
No.
Maybe not. And this is essential to my point that this part of the sugya is totally unrelated. In other words. And Rabbi Abbo is not the one quoting the Braisa. This Braisa has nothing to do with the Rabbi Abbo Chizkiya issue, or the Rabbi Abbo issue. It's a separate thing. It belongs in the Sugya of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara invokes it here. But if you didn't have the Gemara invoke it, you could say the way you're saying, or you could just say the way Tosis is saying, if we don't know the Machlokas from Rabbi Yehuda, Acha Yifar Lacha Kasov, Kederach Shepart Lacha Benevela, Beger Benesina Lacham Buchira. It doesn't mean that it has to be dafka that way in the pasuk. It means it could be. It could be that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and that in this particular case, the Torah didn't give you a blanket iser hana, it gave you a limited iser hana. And in other cases, the Torah might tell you that you can use it any way you want, like v'chelev nevela, v'chelev trefa yasel l'chol malacha. It has nothing to do with the machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Whichever way you hold, it's possible that both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda hold. However you read that pasuk, it could be generally, and the Gemara Pesachim does say this, even Rabbi Yehuda might agree with Rabbi Abbo, just not from this pasuk. What creates the problem for us is that the Gemara suggests that this is Rabbi Abbahu's makor. In other words, it's based, when the Gemara continues in the Shaklev and Tarim Pesachim and says, Hanichal Rabbi Meir, but it doesn't work for Rabbi Yehuda, that's on the assumption that the whole makor is in fact from Rabbi Meir, from Rabbi Meir's reading of the pasuk. The fact that the Torah didn't have to tell you anything, and then it told you could do whatever you want with it, tells you that if you hadn't told you could do anything you want with it, you wouldn't be able to do anything that you want with it. So then, if you darshan dafka leger b'nesina, ulot dekacham memechira, then you have a problem for Rabbi Abbahu. But if you don't link Rabbi Abbo directly to that machlokas, so it could be Rabbi Abbo does hold like Rabbi Yehuda. And he's not saying that the makor is nevela, he's just saying that that's a model, that's an example of something where the Torah said it's usher to eat, and the Torah had to tell you it's mutter in the following hanos. It could be another pasuk will tell you it's mutter in all hanos, and that would be mutter in all hanos. It's not so different than what Tosus is saying. It's different, but it's similar idea, that in effect, when Tosus says, lishna dekra nakat, now you've enlightened me on this, what is he really saying? More than that, he's saying Lishna de Kra and not Lishna de Braisa. In other words, it's the pasuk that's motivating the formulation, not the Bryce's interpretation and what the Gemara does with that. You know, I may be reading too much into Tosis, but either way, the point is it's lav dafka. It's not tied to the reading of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. So that teretz I understand in Tosis also. There's a third teretz here, which I don't understand really, because I don't understand what you do with it in the first place. You see, here's the problem. You can see where I'm going. I see a couple of you on your faces. You already know where I'm going with this. Tosfos asked this kasha in the previous Tosfos, I think. Why does, according to Rabbi Meir, does the Torah say, oh, and not u, lahaktim? So isn't it possible that also Rabbi Meir doesn't think that you could do, that Rabbi Meir agrees with Rabbi Yehuda? That the Torah didn't really need to tell you. It didn't really need to tell you that it's mutar b'hana. That would have been a davar pasha. Just because it says you can't eat it doesn't mean it's asa b'hana. You know what the Torah had to come to tell you? Lahaktim. Just as for Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah had to come to tell you dafka ger b'nesina and goyva mechira, the Torah had to tell you dafka lahaktim. That's why, otherwise it wouldn't have been necessary. And you undermine the whole point. You destroyed what the Gemara Pesachim does with this brisa for Rabbi Abahu. And presumably the whole point of the Gemara quoting it. So Tosfos kvetches a teretz. Like that, for that, we wouldn't have needed a pasuk. That we wouldn't have bothered with. To have the whole thing just to teach us that? Nah. Once you're telling us the heter hana, you throw an O instead of U in order, fine. But if that's the case, I don't know if I really understand the last teretz of Tosfos. The last teretz is inami nokarachim yishum denesinas ager kodemes. I guess I do understand it. Okay, maybe it does make sense. In other words, it's not that Rabbi Abahu is telling you that you can only do nesina lager and mechir lenachri. He just says it this way because just as for Rabbi Meir, the pasuk teaches you derech agav that it's better to give it to a goy, give it to a ger than sell it to a goy. So too Rabbi Abahu in his formulation says Nesina Lager and Mechira Lagoy. Just because it teaches you the lesson of Lahaktim. In other words, the second answer Tosfos says is that Rabbi Abahu is based upon a pasuk. The third answer says no, he's not based upon the pasuk. He is based upon the Braisa, but you thought he was learning Nesina Lager and Mechira La'akum meant that's the only way you can do it. No, what he's telling you is Lahaktim Nesina Lager and Mechira La'akum. Ari?
The only issue with that, it may not be a problem, except that there are versions of Rabbi Abahu's Memra. The versions of Rabbi Abahu's Memra that appear in Kiddushin and Bava Kama are in a completely different context, and they're without the. They're in the context of Shor Niskal, and they're without the Brisa of Rabbi Meir and Abihu. But in the Sugya and Bava Kama, it still has that line, Lager ben Sina Lo Bekocham ben Mechir, which is called the Brisa. So in that context, it wouldn't be pointing you to a Chiddush, it wouldn't be pointing you towards Rabbi Meir.
That was my whole point.
That's what I'm saying. That answer of Tosfos doesn't work because of Bava Kama, it's divorced.
Correct. Okay, so I agree. So the second answer, the first two, that's a different problem. Okay, but that's, you know, Tosfos would say that the Gemara there knew the Braisa. The Gemara there just didn't bother to quote the rest of the Braisa. But the whole point of recognizing that the Braisa comes from a separate Makor lends credence to Tosfos' second answer. Tosfos, who says that Rabbi Abahu's statement is based off the pasuk, not based off the brisa, not relating to the brisa, makes more sense once you realize that Rabbi Abahu's statement is here. The brisa is really relevant in Avodah Zarah, and it's just that the Mesadrei HaSugya, and the Mesadrei HaSugya, particularly in Pesachim, because he wants to build on it and attach Rabbi Abahu dafka, and that's not unreasonable. His attaching Rabbi Abahu dafka to Rabbi Meir Shita is very reasonable. It's a very reasonable, you know, extrapolation that it only works within Rabbi Meir and it doesn't work within Rabbi Yehuda. But the Gemara, the Rabbi Abahu's Memor itself wasn't said in the context of that Braisa, and that's why he uses what we would have thought to be a careless formulation of Nesina Lager and Mechir Lakum. No, it's because Rabbi Abahu's not thinking about the Braisa, he's thinking about the Pasuk. Our Sugya and the Sugya and Pesachim put the two together. Why do they put it together? It's really the Sugya and Pesachim that puts it together, namely because they want to explain Rabbi Abahu's Shita being based on Rabbi Meir and not based within Rabbi Yehuda. The Sugya in Kiddushin and the Sugya in Bava Kama do not have the whole Braisa. The Sugya in Avodah Zarah does not have any mention of Rabbi Abahu. Only this Sugya, which is clearly the same Sugya as Pesachim, but in abridged form in effect, has that Braisa. In fact, I would have just said, truth be told, this this sugya is really a copy out of the sugya Msachim, because the entire brice is irrelevant here. All you needed to do was to tell us the Maimer of Rabbi Abba, Lo Sochal Kol Toiva. Why do you go into the whole shock of Atariya? It's an Ashigra Delishna. It's an Ashigra Delishna. It doesn't belong here. All that belongs here is up until the quotation of the brice. Ari?
Psachim also has the sugya of the Shor Niskal that's in Bava Kama and Kiddushin.
Yes.
On the next daf, and it's the entire sugya word for word. It's just missing Rabbi Abba's memory.
Well, what? That's because that could have been. Well, you can't tell because that's reworked. And as that entire sugya is going through one iser after the other iser after the other iser for Rabbi Abba and Heskia.
But the whole—it's like a whole long shot of prior, like with like Benzoma.
I agree,
and, but it's just that it starts. And then the whole part of the Rabbi Abba is missing, and then it picks up.
Oh, of course, but again, because Rabbi Abba is there in Bava Kama and Kiddushin, the Gemara has to provide us with the background. Here, it doesn't have to.
Right. It just shows that memory is portable. Right?
Yes. Okay, Moshe.
I'm just saying, to understand for purposes of this sugya, we don't need to see Rabbi Abba really. I mean, according to Tosfos, may very well be that Rabbi Abba is not really. Can agree with both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Almost doesn't.
That, well, that's how the Gemara Pesachim works out. He can't agree with Rabbi Yehuda of this. He could. Bottom line is, the whole brice is irrelevant. It's not a sugya discussing what Rabbi Abba's, the scope of Rabbi Oshita, which Tanami agrees with. It should have ended on Acha Yifrat Lacha Kedar Shapasa Lacha Akasa Kedar Shapar Lacha Menevei Lagem Nesino Vekam Lachimra, with or without those last five words. End of discussion. Now the Gemara asks, Elameyata. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Okay. Are there any questions? Okay, so I'm going to reiterate what I said. Still not everybody's here now. I know that some people may be sick. But people need to put in the time preparing in Seder. If you're prepared in Seder, you walk in, you can be part of an intelligent discussion. If you're not prepared in Seder, half the stuff is going to go over your heads. I would really appreciate people try to have some chizuk in this particular matter. Tomorrow, I would like to, you can shut it. Tomorrow, I may read through very quickly through the Tosafim, and we're going to go on to Taf Kuf Tesvav Amud Aleph. And for the moment, really, Gemara Rashi Tosafos is sufficient. On Wednesday, we will, again, for those who weren't here yesterday, we will be hearing Shir from Rabbi Yaakov Magain. I can't say it. Formerly Rabbi